Blog Talk Radio.
I've been on both sides of the coin.
Those are checking the show, the Man of Talk Show, as we try to build what we're doing in this movement. We got my brother, other brother here, Dow Harrington. And welcome to the show as another host, of course. Man up,
man up. Now, I appreciate smart. But you got to know in this game, man, it ain't enough.
When you meet people, you want to know their knowledge. You want to know their story. What's the backstory? What brought you? What brought you to this day? And if you know somebody who can help you to achieve that, it would be just totally ignorant.
We are on deck. Want to welcome everyone to the show. Listen to New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia. Well, I checked you out earlier. Once again, yours truly, Mr. Nass, and I want to send a special.
I think all you men have nailed it, because the fact remains, we can't teach our younger men to become better men if we're being hypocrites. We're being hypocrites about what we're telling them to do. Have things done to me, and I have done them. So I'm speaking from experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives me. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the difference.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children, you're talking relationships, you're talking all kinds of things, and it blows my mind, man. Listen.
Fight the power.
What is going on, everybody? What's going on? What is up? We are on deck. We are ready. We are stocked and ready to go. Let's go. Welcome to the Man Effect Show. Tonight is the verdict. We're going to address this verdict. And I want to say, first of all, thank you for everyone that's been tuning in, all the comments and all the open discussions we've been having about this issue. It's just something that's got to be talked about and addressed. Without no further ado, we're going to spin it around the room with yours truly, Mr. Naz. I'm one of the hosts and one of the brothers who's very strong about this. Yours truly, my man, also Brother Dal Harrison. Are you online?
Yes, brother, I'm right here.
All right, Big D is in the building. So, once again, congratulations to my man Big D. You get where he's going. All right, so also, we'll keep it going around the line right now. Also got our brother from the state of Virginia, my brother Big, we're going to call him Big Everett L. Fell. What's going on, brother?
What's good, man? What's up?
All right, man, trying to stay blessed, man. I'm ready. Shoot in the building.
All right.
All right. We'll spin it out again. I believe we got my other brother. It's the wonderful, my man, Hassan Black online. Hassan, you on? I guess not. So, Brother Dow, who else we have online tonight? Take it from here, brother. Tell us who else we have going on.
Okay. We also have Pastor Lander Hughes, the pastor of the Bethel Baptist Church of Orange, New Jersey. He's going to be on the line with us this
good evening.
And fellas, hello, Pastor. We also have Mr. Tom Reynolds. He's the president of the Montclair chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. He also will be with us this evening. We don't know if he's online yet, but he's definitely joining us this evening.
Well, definitely. I believe we have somebody else online. We haven't identified, just identify yourself at this time.
DeLacy Davis from Black Cops Against Police Brutality.
Oh, wow. Okay. How are you doing, sir? How are you doing today? It's an honor to hear from you, sir.
I'm good, brothers, and peace to the family.
Oh, God bless always, man. Peace to yourself. It's an honor to have you on, brother. I've been following you for quite a long time. So it's definitely
praise God
to have you on, man, definitely.
Praise
following
God
you for a long time, brother. But, once again, a lot of strong brothers and a very strong topic. So I'm going to swing it around the room. And, Brother Dow, you want to start off and we can let our esteemed co-hosts say their thoughts. I'm pretty sure they got a mouth on this one.
All right. Sure, I'm glad I'll start. Tonight, we're dealing with a serious topic that is reaches farther than just George Zimmerman. This case was about a young African-American male who was devalued by someone, whose life was extinguished by someone, and just to bring him to justice took a movement. Just to bring him to justice, just to be able to have his day in court. And then once his day in court came, once again, he was devalued once again. So we need to address this as a people. We need to address this as black men. We need to address this. We need to address how we are being treated, how we're being looked, how we're being valued, how we value ourselves, because it all starts with us in the first place. So, look, I don't want to waste a lot of time as far as me talking about this. We have an esteemed panel this evening, but that's just my opening statement about this. Edward?
Okay.
Edward? Oh, man. This is Pastor Hughes. Theoretically, I think that our history has informed or has a way of informing our perception, which has, I believe, much to do with not only the decisions that are made in this country, but also how we are affected, particularly when it comes to black and brown people in America. But what I'm saying is this: perception, as I see it, has divided races with unfair strategies that looks that locks out really people of diversity. And so the question is not who is to blame, but what are we going to do about standing on the outside while denied about human value and equality? So we must come up, as I believe, with a strategy. First, to talk about it, and I appreciate forums such as this that allows us to, talk about a lot of the issues that we are dealing with and what have you. But not only just talk about it, but come up with a working plan, come up with a strategy that's going to mobilize us as a people into our place of destiny, into our place where we can not only demand self-respect, but also have self-respect coming from others as well and whatnot. So what I'm saying, we have to come up with a strategy. We have to come up with a working plan that's going to really work, because power is never given. We have to fight for it. We have to work for it.
Absolutely.
So there's things we have to do in order to get to the table and make things happen, to make a change take a place and whatnot. Because as long as we remain passive and remain in our comfort zone, then nothing will happen. You know, things will remain the same.
Right. Okay. Who we got next in the line? I'm very interested. Very interested to hear that. Very well said. But let's go to, I'm very curious, can we hear from Brother Glass Davis?
Well, let me say peace to the family, and certainly I agree. I come from a very different slant, I think. One, Lionel Tate, who was a 12-year-old in Florida that did the wrestling move and killed his 6-year-old cousin, Tiffany Eunice, he was sentenced to life without the possibility of parole. Our organization and I specifically worked on that case for 3 years, flying in 7 times at our expense to help get him off of that sentence, and it led to us meeting with Pope John Paul II in Rome, Italy, and eventually getting Johnny Cochran to come on board and to handle the appeal, and we got Lionel out of jail. Now, it took us 3 years, and I didn't know Lionel, I didn't know his mother, but I was introduced to his mother by a brother that I had arrested in East Orange for drugs, who was now in rehab in Florida, and told his mother, there's a cop in New Jersey I think you should reach out to. Now, I start there to say this. In my 3 years of going to Florida, I found it hard to find brothers that would stand up and challenge the system.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me back to this point around, and you know my position around black police officers, but we have a lack of accountability in our community for black men, period.
Mm-hmm.
Be us the police, be us elected officials, be us clergy, be us whatever. And so before I get to Trayvon Martin, I first apologize for the failure of black men to act like black men.
First thing.
Because if we as black men acted like men, we would never get to a Trayvon Martin. Because the consequence would be so great in the country and in our communities that they would not run the risk of offending us. But what happens, and I understand the position is, you Negroes kill yourselves. You call each other the N-word, and then you have the audacity to get angry when we kill you.
So we're going to be on the same page, I see him and I are going to be on the same page tonight, fellas. This is Eddie. I love everything you said out of your mouth, brother. And I appreciate you for your passion, your heart, and your intent. And tonight, we need to be talking about solutions, inequality, consistency, logistics, clarity, accountability, and bravery. Those are the things we need to be discussing tonight. And then this is more than Trayvon Martin, and it starts with us. And it's more than Zimmerman, it's more than race. It's a lot of things, fellas, that we need to address. And there's no putting Band-Aids on a situation and hoping that this is going to heal. This is a deep wound that needs to be cut out, gutted, clean, and then we can need to work from the root of what the problem is. And that's where we're going with this today. I mean, we can do this all day. We can treat this like any other black funeral where we get together and say, I wish it wasn't times like this when we got together. And then we meet up again when another death comes up instead of doing something about what the problem is. So that's where we're going to be at tonight. And I'm going to make sure.
I agree. I agree with the solution. I agree. I totally agree.
Black, are you online?
I'm not sure. You have someone online now. You have another person online, 877 number.
So, like, TV's online in the background. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, turn down your TVs if you've got the TV on, you know, so you know, this is serious conversations going down. We're going to keep swinging around the room. Is anybody on the panel that hasn't checked in yet on their opinion of their situation, the verdict or the solution? Because right now, it appears that we have a direction where we're going tonight. All right, let's just keep it going. My personal take, yes, I got angry, but at the same time, there's a level of accountability of black men, you know, not being more, not being reactive, being more proactive. And then when you know, if you're not out in the community, you're not out there trying to, you know, we may not reach everybody, but you gotta be part of the solution. You can't damn sure be part of the problem and always worry about the reactive state. Oh, I'm pissed off and mad. But what's the damn? What have you been doing, you know, ahead of time? What are you doing to help your community? What are you doing to help out all these young men or these young ladies out here? You know, being from Exeter County myself, East Orange and Orange area, you know, being out there trying to help our young people out, you know, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. I've been doing 30 years plus, so I definitely agree with the level of accountability. But the question is, how can we do? I mean, I know, Brother Davis, that you've been on a larger scale doing things. How can people like us brothers here on the Man Up Show, four brothers from different parts of the United States getting together, how can we be part of the solution? Is there any advice? And Pastor, feel free to jump at any time. What's some things that we can do more, not just talk about? I mean, I know it's just a forum, but we want to be able to do more to get our voice out here. Because we're really passionate about this. We're really passionate.
Yes, sir. This is Pastor Hughes. I think that what we need to do, to be specific, we really have to find our niche. And everybody does not have the same niche. I believe that, you know, everyone is not called to be on the front line as far as to maybe go out down the streets or wherever. But there's something I believe that can be done if there's no more than, you know, financing education or financing a program that's empowering our black people or whatever it may be that will advance the cause in terms of really empowering the people. So we have to really find ourselves, looking for ourselves and whatnot. And so it's going to take where we come together collectively, come together in strength and be mentors, you know, work with these young people, work with this generation. And encourage them, not only just encourage, but also be in tune with some resources, because it's going to take some resources also to get done or accomplish what needs to be done and what have you. So all of that plays a major part. So really, I'm saying, you know, you have to find your niche in terms of what works in order to advance the cause of empowerment.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Can I jump in there? This is DeLacy Davis. So let me just give solutions on the front end. I like what the brother said about us having solutions, and I agree with the pastor, because we all can't do all things, and we can't be all things to everyone. But let me just give some quick solutions, and people can take what they like. One, we have to keep the peace in our own community, period.
That's right.
Wherever you live, if it's a block, if it's a barrio, if it's in a corner, if it's in a box. My corner, there's no drug dealers. I talked to the drug dealers. They've given me those corners for the last 15 years. Whatever your neighborhood is, let's keep the peace. Number two, register to vote and vote in blocks. Everybody should be registered to vote. It's not the be-all, end-all, but it is absolutely a tool that we can use to move our agenda forward. Three, join the NAACP. I'm one of the loudest and biggest critics of the NAACP, but I'm a member, my daughter's a member, and there's a reason for membership. It has its privileges. And if you don't like the NAACP, then start your own organization. But black people at this point in time should be organized and organizing. Four, take care of our children, but more importantly, take care of your children. It's real simple. If you got babies that you haven't claimed, go back and reclaim them, because if you don't raise them, those of us who act like men have to raise them. Five, register to get a gun permit. Buy a gun and carry the gun at your home. Do like they're doing. They're buying guns all over the South, and then they dump them in our community. We need to have guns and have gun education. Okay, as they say, guns are, and they don't want black people to have guns. That's the social reality. Their children have the little Eagle Eye Eddie program, and they're at the shooting range. Our kids are just taking guns and killing each other. Seven, sponsor an urban school. We're nowhere near the schoolhouse. I'm a school principal. I would have man up, stand up, read to a child today because we don't see black and Latino men in urban education. We need to be at the school. I don't care if you didn't graduate. Bring your dumb stuff to my school and we're going to work with you. Don't make that the reason that you don't get involved. Spend your dollars with the black community. As the pastor just said, when you spend your money in our communities, then we create jobs and opportunity in our community for our people. Boycott our enemies like the cop industry that pay for Zimmerman's trial. Boycott the people that are paying. Why are we funding our own failure? Boycott crime in our community. And finally, build strong black families. We just can't go along to get along. We got to build strong families. And when your boy is sleeping with three and four females and leaving babies everywhere, we got to call that what it is. Because I got none.
Exactly. And to that point, to the point of voting, we have to get our people out to vote.
Yes.
And not just go to the poll and vote, okay. But first of all, it must begin with educating our people in terms of informing them of all the facts and informing them, you know, the best candidate, because we have people who are in political positions who have no interest or have no desire to really work on behalf of the black community, brown community, or whoever, but just with their own self-interest. So we have to really be mindful of who we put in position, because a lot of times this has a great deal in terms of determining of some of the laws, and really the laws and legislations that really affect us as people. So that has a great deal in terms of really you know, determining our fate or what have you.
I want to add to that. This is Eddie Fairley. I don't, Brother Davis, I absolutely love you, man. I'm like about to look you up and find you and all kinds of stuff over here, man. I am losing my mind in my house.
Praise God,
right,
brother.
Now.
I'm on the internet. You can find me.
I advocate the same things that you're speaking to, as well as participating in the same things that you are speaking about, and building a platform to make sure that others know about the things that you're speaking about currently in my life. But I do want to add to what you're saying, consistency. If we're going to boycott those things, we need to boycott the same things that our people are contributing to the same thing. We need to boycott the artists that are telling us to do the things that were done to Zimmerman. We need to boycott all the and have the same marches about our own kind doing the same thing. We need to be consistent, because then if we're not, we're hypocrites and we're just as racist as the other people. If we're going to only do it when white people do it to us, then we're hypocrites. We're not really standing against the problem. We're just being a part of some little phony, little temporary movement. If we're going to have a movement, it needs to be a movement that sticks to the actual purpose of the movement. It shouldn't be fluctuating, oh, we're going to do it because of this, or we're not going to do it because of that. A lot of people don't know that the NAACP is not just for blacks. It's for human rights, period.
Exactly.
Period. And I hear it a lot of times, you know. Granted, I'm a Christian, but I even when I speak to people that are in the NAACP, I'm glad. I would love for us to link up after this, because I asked someone, I'm like, this is great. I love what you guys are talking about. What would cause me to be a part of the NAACP? So like I said, we can talk about that offhand. And then I'll hear some things that I'm like, well, I do that outside of the NAACP. Why do I need to join the NAACP to be a part of that? And I can't really get a response. So I think you're the guy that I need to speak to. But I also hear the same people. They'll make a statement about the NAACP, the reason why I brought up the whole my religion and everything, but they'll say something like, it's about more than just race, it's about human equality, and then they'll be like, but I didn't like it at first because of a lot of gays in the organization. I'm like, well, dang, isn't that human equality? That you kind of just threw your whole premise out of the way, and when you hear NAACP, they're only standing up for the black issues when it's publicized. That's the only reason why I brought that up. I just want more clarity on what the NAACP stands for, and somebody that's actually doing it to help me along the lines. But I just bring that to say we need consistency. If we're going to say we're about something, it needs to be reflective in our actions and in our doing. So we should not just be getting on or stepping up when a trial fits our color and it's an opportunity for us to stand as one or what have you. We need to do this every single time this happens and don't take any exceptions, no matter the color, the race, the creed, or what have you, and we're going to start a movement, then you can get me to join the movement. Otherwise, don't even come to me with that crap because it has no kind of potency to it. It's weak to me, and I will not join it. So if you're going to be in, you all in. I'm not taking no half behind this. If you want me to join your movement and be that front man or somebody that's brave enough to say whatever needs to be said, then be in it all day. Don't be half behind because in the end, yes, Trayvon Martin was brought to trial, but that should not have hurt his trial. That should have helped his trial, but instead it hurt his trial because we saw the other pictures. They put the picture of him as 5, 6, 7 years old when he looked all innocent, and he didn't look as great as they portrayed him to be. Not saying that he wasn't and that his life should have been shouldn't have been valued, but if we saw the other pictures, which the jury did, it might have swayed their thought. I absolutely agree that he should have been sentenced for manslaughter. But I do also question, and I can give you many scenarios as to where second-degree murder might not have been a good charge to front the case with.
Pardon me, Eddie. One second only. Hassan, are you on the line?
Oh, I'm on the line. I'm listening. How y'all brothers doing?
What's going on, baby? What's going on?
That's what's up. Like to say what's up to everybody first and foremost. Sorry for the long delay of being out of service. But, you know, I had a track star son, same age as Trayvon. And, you know, this has definitely hit home for me because it's very close and glamour how kids can walk around with one look and get chastised, ostracized, criticized just because of a look. So I'm very much so focused on this conversation this evening. And again, I like to just say, you know, what's up to everybody on the panel. Good to hear from everybody, Brother Darrell, Brother Ed, Nass, distinguished panel that's listening in. I just like to say, you know, welcome and thanks for listening, and I'm glad to be back.
All right.
All right, brother.
Tom Reynolds, yeah. Are you online?
Tom Reynolds here.
Yes, Tom. How are you? How are you, my brother?
I'm doing, hey, I can't complain. Well, actually, I can, but no one will listen.
Tom Reynolds,
I've been enjoying the conversation you guys are having.
Okay.
Tom Reynolds is the president of the Montclair NAACP. So we want to have a conversation about civil rights organizations and everybody being involved in this outcome. Tom is the perfect person to have on here. We've invited most of the local area NAACPs, right away said, you know, I'm on deck, I'm on board. So, Tom, welcome, and thank you very much for giving us your time this evening.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
We appreciate you, brother.
I'm in Florida right now. I'm less than 30 miles away from Sanford, where, you know, the whole court case, the Trayvon shooting, and, you know, just being here is emotional. And it's upsetting to see that we have a situation where in 2013, it's still illegal to walk while black. You know, I was listening, you guys were talking about trying to find solutions, and that was sort of you know, Professor Mark Lamont Hill at UPenn, who had somewhat flipped the question from, you know, what he's talking about, driving while black. Like, why are we talking about what it's like to drive while black and thinking about the solutions for that? Why aren't we flipping the question to what does it mean to be racist while a cop? You know, what does it mean to be a racist neighborhood watch person or to be a trigger-happy neighborhood watch? What would have happened if Zimmerman stayed in his car? So, you know, and now we have to find, you know, the solutions moving forward. And you guys have mentioned it, it's dealing with gun violence, but at the same time, we need to treat guns, I think, the same way that we treated cigarettes. We never made cigarettes illegal, but we found a way to make people not want to smoke them. we changed the culture around cigarettes. So now if we can change the culture around guns, gun violence, black-on-black violence, you know, community, just violence in general, then I think that we can find a solution to dealing with the issues we're all talking about tonight.
This is Wayne. Everybody calls me that. That's my little nickname there. Tom, right? Now, you know, we had an opportunity to listen to Brother Davis and, of course, you know, Pastor. You know, I agree with their saying. I also see it also Brother Eddie as well. You know, is it something that we could have done or maybe, you know, as a community, you know, as far as being more involved, having our, you know, I guess our communities more involved where stuff like this don't happen, you know, say there's a different perception with black people, you know, and Brother Davis brought up something that was really interesting. He said, us, you know, properly armed, you know, bigger people being properly armed with a gun. Now, Brother Davis, feel free to jump in at any time, because, I, you know, I need to understand that. I do see your point of view with, you know, being armed properly. Now, with that being said, and gentlemen, you know, this man may be possibly armed, he may not have jumped out the car. I mean, what do you think about that assessment, that as far as us arming ourselves?
You know, well, I think, go ahead, brother.
Hey, I know I've met the sort of people who I think have the same mentality that Zimmerman had that night, that sort of, oh, who is this in my community? I'm gonna go see what this is about, even though the 911 operator told me not to. I'm gonna go follow him. But you know, the difference is that, well, A, he was armed, and B, you know, that Strayvon had every right to be there. There's no reason he shouldn't. The Supreme Court has said that the police cannot profile. Why is it that neighborhood watch can profile, and why was he armed? I don't know. Is there something more we could have done? I don't know if there is something more we could have done, because he went out there just with the wrong mentality altogether. You can do everything you can to prevent the murder, but there's someone who's going to go out with every intention of being armed and being suspicious of anyone black and following someone the whole way home and then wondering why he's being questioned with, you know, we weren't there, but if you were followed your whole way home, would you not say something?
Well, absolutely, definitely.
Yeah, this past use.
It just happened that Zimmerman was the type that, you know, like I said, I've met those sort of people who are just a little too ambitious, and he should have never been armed. He should have never been allowed to have a gun. He should have never walked out of his car. He should have listened to the 911 operator. I mean, we would be dealing with a completely different issue where it was a kid walking home being stopped by the police in his own neighborhood versus a neighborhood watch following him and causing a situation that we now are dealing with. And maybe there's something that we learn from all of this. And this discussion is where it starts.
I think that, you know, we as black, we have to take a stand and be strong, support one, embrace our own in the sense of doing what it takes in terms of mentoring, in terms of maybe setting up programs for empowerment, showing the self-respect. Because once we come together, then, you know, I know there are a lot of things that we cannot prevent, but if we are together, we take a strong stand and show unity and express that not only as a way of just, you know, as an appearance, but also through all of what we do and all of our efforts. I just believe that a lot of things that are happening to us as a people, it will be where many would take a sucker thought in terms of what to do. Because you look at some of the racist mindset in all of this, or listen to some of the racist mindset in all of this, the first thing they refer to is black-on-black killing. And that is happening. We cannot deny that.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's correct.
So what is really being said is that, okay, you're killing, you don't have no respect for yourself, so why should we?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't value the life of your own. So why should we value the life of our own? So we have to come together and stand strong. That's the key.
Absolutely. And we lose 83 people a week to gun, 83 young people a week to gun violence.
And we need to stand up with each other and show that we have respect for ourselves. At the same time, we also have to say that we won't stand for, you know, I'm going to explain it today. We won't stand for any sort of gun violence.
Right.
You know, it needs to stop between ourselves and between us and anyone else.
I wanted to.
And I like the comment earlier about supporting our own community. Yeah, you know, this is a conversation that's been going on since who knows how long. But you know, we all have our money in whatever bank or credit union. But there's not a single black bank that has over $1 billion in it. And as a buying power of the black people, we're just as strong as the top 10 nations.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Well, and money changes hands in our community, you know, 3 times it stays in our community, whereas in any other community it's 11, 20 times it changes hands in theirs.
And, I mean, fellas, we really got to work on this whole mirror thing, man. I'm an advocate of putting your mirror up at yourself first, or asking yourself, what did you have to do with it, or what could you have done, and then working your way out. And we tend to put the mirror out. We say, oh, well, they think we're bad because or black people are bad or evil, whatever, because of how the media portrays us. But the media does not give them actors to do what it is that we're doing for the media to use against us. We're the ones doing it. So we have to talk to our people. We have to influence our people. We have to take the minds of our people back. And empower them, not even necessarily not through weapons, through their minds, to show how strong their minds are, and using their minds can shift a nation. And when we can do that, that's when we don't give them any ammunition against us, and then they have no choice but to say who we really are or who we really can be. Because even now I'm questioning who we really are, and it's scary. Because, like I said, I mean, me and my wife were having this discussion about a reality show, and I'm like, man, the lady said, what this reality show has showed about me is not really who I am. I'm like, well, dang, every single episode I've seen, it seems to be consistent. I don't know how much editing they can do to make you, like, this terrible person if you're not really a terrible person, and that's what I meant by. And I talked to my children that I mentor earlier in the week about the verdict, and I stressed to them that this is also evidence that our actions speak louder than words, because unfortunately, yes, Trayvon Martin was put to trial, but unfortunately, Trayvon Martin didn't speak well for himself based on the pictures and stuff that he had on his Facebook and in his other things. So I think that also hindered his case just as much as, or provided them with reasonable doubt just as much as anything else. So he didn't play a good role in the decision-making either. And I doubt it if the parents thought that was going to happen. But, again, they showed pictures of when he was younger. They didn't show the current Trayvon Martin. They didn't show the many middle fingers and the guns that he had on his page and smoking and puffing and putting all that stuff up on his page or in his phone or what have you. And that spoke about him in a sense that really shifted people's mindset. When we originally took this as, man, this just this innocent boy that just walked away or was just going somewhere, he got caught up in a racial dispute, and this is just tragic. I mean, it was more to it than that. It definitely shouldn't have happened, and it wouldn't have happened had he not gotten out of the car. But at the same token, you know, like anything else, fellas, I can play devil's advocate all day. If Zimmerman got out of the car after they told him not to get out of the car, and he ended up shooting and killing somebody that just got out of a house that they did break into and rape and kill somebody, we would be calling him a hero for not listening to the person on the phone. But unfortunately, it was this situation. And I'm not saying that, like I said, what he did was good. I personally think he should have got got for manslaughter. But in a sense, I can play, like I said, I go through everything with an open mind and logic. And I know how emotional we can get, but again, if we're going to be emotional, let's be consistent with our emotions. We need to fight against violence about humankind. So we also need to fight and show that we do fight for Caucasians. There's Caucasians that are in the same situation. If we're going to do it, like I said, we need to be consistent across the board so that we can be taken seriously and we can be looked at as people that really care for human lives as opposed to just our lives, and then we can make sure that those people aren't on TV giving them ridiculous answers that's making them rich on YouTube and then glorifying and buying the YouTube ringtones made by just glorifying just stupidity on our own people. We're not doing anything to stop all that stuff, yet we wonder why they look at us the way that we do. We give them ammunition. We need to work on stopping that and then work on building a better self-image of ourselves, boycotting everyone, including ourselves, that are contributing to what's going on, and then we'll have a movement. Then we'll have something strong that we can move towards just making better communities and better people amongst ourselves.
Well, that's why it takes where we must get involved in our young people's life. I have a ministry called the Home Mission Ministry, and what I do in this ministry is we go out and we talk to young people. I talk to a lot of the gang members and what have you. And a lot of them, they are looking for structure. They are looking for strength, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking for someone to be there and to guide them. You know, I've talked to some gang members who have, you know, taken lives and whatnot. And the question has been raised, you know, is God a forgiving God and whatnot. So they,
mm-hmm.
they have a soft spot, you know. They are human. They are people. And
yes,
so
sir.
We can't be afraid in terms of the image we see that is projected from them, but we must take a bold stand and embrace them and do all we can to guide them in the way that they ought to go and what have you, in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't be afraid.
That's right.
I agree.
And
that's
I'm
right.
definitely not
right.
afraid. But I'm going to stand up for what's right and not just some temporary movement that's going to be gone in the wind in the next few months.
That's right. That's right. That's right. I want to chime
yeah.
in on this. This is like this whole situation with the Trayvon Martin case, you know, is really out of control because one thing I will agree with is if there's going to be a movement, it has to be a movement that's not as above average for the moment. I do agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But when I said it's close to home for me, I have a sister that actually lives in Sanford, Florida. So
mm-hmm.
I have 411 on a lot of this that's been going on there.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that they do in Sanford on a regular basis, from what I understand. It's a very close-knit community, but yet it's typical Florida. It's not, you know, just because it's close to Orlando, it's not that, okay, this is the tourism part of Florida. It's just a typical urban community where it's a mixed community.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely is overridden by white populace.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, my son is 17. He'll be 18 in December. He just graduated from high school. You know, he was a track star, football star. You know, he's on his way to college. He got a scholarship. You know, and I'm proud. But the thing that I'm trying to get at is I have an issue when we have so many powers that be that say, you know, oh, well, Trayvon Martin case is obsolete. Everybody else is killing each other. All these different races are killing each other. The black community don't stand together. They don't come together. What I have a problem with is the fact that if you're not going to stand together for every single cause, and I don't mean just a kid got murdered. I mean a woman was beaten. A child was molested. A father was assaulted. You know, I don't want it to just be stop at the kids. I mean, we keep talking about how other kids are being killed from black-on-black crime. The black community is lost. You know, Trayvon had all these pictures of him that, you know, we talk about that the white jurors and the white community looked at as prevail. Oh, he has a hoodie on. Oh, he smoked pot. Oh, he did all these things. But to be honest with you, that stuff to me is pure BS. Because there's so many white kids walking around right now do the exact same thing, and they're not incriminated upon. They're not challenged by the black community because they have on a hoodie. You know why? Because they're doing nothing but what we do. Because for years, we wanted to do what they did. So you look at the guys out here with the saggy pants, the drawers showing, the Timberland boots, the hoodies on, the tank top T-shirts. I don't like that word, wife beat. I hate that. You know, and you look at these kids, and you say to yourself, okay, that's a typical kid from around the way. He's harmless. He's not robbing. He's not stealing. Yeah, he smoked a little weed. Yeah, he got a gold tooth in his mouth. That's Florida. I have cousins right now that's literally 50 years old. I lived in Miami, Florida in 1977, 78. All my cousins were like 10, 11, 12, and they had gold teeth. Gold teeth in Florida is a staple. For teenagers. They wear gold teeth still. So to me, when I hear them say, okay, well, he did this, he did this, he did that, so what? You got presidents that smoke weed, that got jail records, that all got overturned because of who their fathers were, but they weren't ostracized. This young man got shot for all the wrong reasons. He was in the wrong place at the wrong time. At the end of the day, this guy, who definitely is racist, because I posted his dad on, what's that, that old site they used to have, MySpace, and they posted his MySpace page. I posted it on the Shadow World site, and it lets you see how he was so disrespectfully, blatantly racist about Mexicans and black people. He said it himself, it's in black and white, but yet they didn't want to put that in the case because they was like, oh, we don't want to, you know, harm his chance. So, for me, this whole case is not about marching. It's not about, it's all about him. It's about what the president thinks. You know, to me, the case, at the end of the day, is about gun control. We got people walking around here in these crazy-ass southern states where they feel as though that a gun is all they need. And it's just killing more than just the black community. It's killing the populace itself. It's telling people that good old boy mentality will never die, and as long as we can carry this gun, we still have the power. And to me, I'm not for all of this marching and stuff unless it's going to be 100% down for the entire cause. So I salute the Martin family because of the fact that, you know, no one wants to lose their son. I'm worried about my son. My son is going all the way to Texas to college. I'm very worried. Every day since he got that scholarship, I've been in his ear like, you sure you want to go? Are you sure? Let me tell you what you need to worry about. Let me tell you how you need to walk. Let me tell you how you need to talk. Let me tell you what you need to do. You're a good kid here. You get in no trouble. You don't disrespect nobody. You don't smoke. You don't drink. You need to remain to be that person. You can't trust certain people. You can't go with this guy because you might wind up in jail somewhere, beat up, jumped, abused. Hurt, lied on, accused of. You have to do these things. Unfortunately, in our community today, fellas, we definitely have to stand up for what's right for our children. But at the end of the day, it always comes back to home training, nurturing, teaching. That bond has to become imminent at all times. And unfortunately, with this case, it has become a popularity race. Which one of these daggone activists can run to the forefront first? You know, to say I'm in charge. I don't personally want to see that because I'm 100% for our people, 100 all the time. There's nothing I'm not going to do. I watched this case. I voiced my opinion about it. I've watched news reels. I've read the articles in the newspaper. I've looked in the magazine. I've listened to sound bites. I watched it because I was not just enthused, but I was like, you know what? I see something bad coming already from last year to now. I knew it. So we have to stop this kick of wanting to think that, you know, everything is about the white man holding us back. Here we go again, getting denied. You know what? We've been getting denied for over 400-something years plus. Only thing we can do now is deal with it, pray, and find a solution. And that's what takes the whole community, not just a few heads that says, I'm in charge.
I agree with you 100%. And I'm going to say that on behalf of then, you know, on my branch of NAACP, this is not going to be a short-lived, you know, one rally and we're done. You know, we've been fighting the voting issue since the New Jersey state legislator first put up a bill that would require voter ID laws, and that disappeared, luckily. But these are issues that are, in my eyes, we can't stop fighting for until we get the solution we want. And so you've got gun control, and you've got the right to vote. We have to make sure that in every place possible, that every person has the right to vote, is educated on what they're voting for, and gets out to vote for every election. You know, we saw what happened in 2008 when we all came out for Obama, but then 2009, and we've got Governor Christie, who has been detrimental to civil rights.
Absolutely
detrimental to civil rights. I can go on for that. But now we're at a point again where, when it comes to voting in New Jersey specifically, you've got three elections left this year, and that in my eyes is just the suppression of the vote. And
yep.
Specifically suppression of the black vote. And when you have elected officials in counties that are predominantly minority coming out in support of someone who has been detrimental to civil rights, and I could name names.
Please. Name them.
Oh, Joseph N. DiVincenzo Jr.
Yeah.
Armando Fontoro.
Yeah.
What's the mayors of Livingston, Bloomfield, that feel they're called? Well, I mean, they have all come out in support of a person who has minimalized the division on women, who has completely suppressed the Homicide Commission, who has who is looking for every possible excuse to get rid of the Division of Civil Rights, who has raided $1.6 billion out of education, who has his most recent move, taking the lottery and making that privatized, which means that all those people who work there, goodbye to their pension. Goodbye to them.
Yeah.
Who has abused the teachers' unions. I mean, we could go on and on about this. But we have to make sure that every eligible voter, everyone 18 who is, and just because you've been to prison, you still have the right to vote in New Jersey. As long as you're disconnected from the criminal justice system, you have the right to vote. And so every eligible voter needs to know what they're voting for, why they need to get out to vote, and get out to vote and bring someone with them, and bring their kids so their kids can learn how to vote.
Yeah.
Now, in 1968, prior to Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination, the question was asked, why do we as a black people have to be more moral than white people? It was during a time when you know, the civil rights and all that and what have you. But it came back, it was not so much, the response came back, not so much that we have to be, as a people, more moral, but more free in order to really make a difference and to engage our fullest power. And so that's going to come through us, you know, going to the polls. It's going to come by us, you know, marching. And not just, like you say, something that's done for just a short period of time. But we have to continue this fight in order to maintain our power in the fullest potential that we have.
And you know what? It's several things I want to tap on. First and foremost, Hassan, I feel you completely. It's definitely, I know it's a race thing. I'm aware of that. But one thing that you said, and I hope you listen to it whenever you get a chance to listen to the archive, and it scared me to my soul. You said that we have the power, and they're trying to do what we do, with their wearing their pants down and wearing the tank tops and smoking the weed and all that stuff, which tells me that is our movement.
Yeah.
That's the black movement. And,
right.
and if we have the power to cause that movement, then we have a power to change the movement. And unfortunately,
exactly.
our movement is on the
exactly.
wrong thing. And,
exactly.
and we need to. We have to seriously. That's why we have to get down and talk to our people so we can shift our image. And when we get to the point where we say we smoke a little weed or this is just the norm and it doesn't look bad to me, but we really have some serious work that we have to do. And,
yeah.
and I also think that what keeps us behind as a community or as an organization in the whole is I respect research, I respect history or whatever, but if you put the focus on who's hindering the movement, they're giving more power towards them as opposed to us focusing on what we need to do to cause the movement to be stronger. So if we continuously point to where they are and when what it is that they're doing, that's causing people to research their stuff, and that's giving more energy to them as opposed to showing that this is what we're doing, and we don't even need to discuss why we're doing it in regards to downplaying their movement. But what they're doing is they're putting a lot of energy in their movement. They're not even thinking about us, and we need to get to that point where we're not thinking about them. We're just thinking about the problem at hand, and we're going to stay focused on that and give that all of our energy and disregard all the stuff that, yes, it's taken away from our movement or what have you, because that kind of causes people to stop running as hard or think that our movement is not strong or is important because they're getting so much money to support the other movements and stuff like that. We need to just focus, buckle down, and go hard for a cause and stick to the cause. And, again, it has to be equally across the board. I mean, we're talking about ourselves and how we value life, and we're so passionate and stuff like that. Yet, when the O.J. trial ended, we cheered. We literally cheered. Two lives were lost. I didn't hear us talking about, oh, that was wrong, yeah. y'all. We literally, worldwide, we cheered. Two human
great.
Lives were lost. If we're going to be a part of a movement and we're going to be a part of being about human rights and people and all that stuff, we need to be like that across the board. I'm not going to say I don't care what happened to us in the past, but I don't care what happened to us in the past. We have to work on what's going on in the future and what's going to happen in the future. We have to stop looking back, and we need to work on what's going on and what we're going to do to get a different visual of our future now.
Yeah, I said,
and I agree with that, you know, and the thing about it is, you know, I am for all people, but I do believe that we must begin with ourselves, working on ourselves.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
No way.
Most definitely.
If we don't deal with
case.
Ourselves and work with the and deal with the issues, unresolved issues that we have within ourselves, it's no way that we can have a healthy relationship with any other race or people.
I agree. I agree with that.
That's what
we mean by start at home. We have no choice but to do that, but we need
right.
to start home, and
exactly.
it can spread out. But we at the same time, when we teach about ourselves, we also have to consider just the human species, period. Life, period, is valuable. But you as a person, you are very beautiful. You're wonderful. These are the conversations my daughter and my children, we have all the time. And I'm so grateful of the fruit that I see harvesting because of those conversations, as well as the young men that I mentor, because it can truly make a difference. But we lack consistency. Like you said, you can't find the guys to step up to do nothing.
There was something that was said to me today while I was at work, and a young man that I know, you know, a good friend of mine, says to me, you know, have you been following the page? You know, I see that, you know, you were a little adamant about, you know, voicing your opinion about things and what have you. And I said, yeah. I said, but, you know, I don't get so beat up in the head to the point to where I think that this is going to, you know, just engulf my whole life. But it's all of our lives, if we want to believe it or not, because it's something that's happening all over. It's not just one city, one state, one guy, you know. And the young man said to me, he said, you know how he died? And I said, yeah, you know, unfortunately, he was shot by a knucklehead. He's like, no. He said he died because Trayvon had swag. And I thought about that, and I said, what do you mean by that? He said he had swag. He said, look around. Everybody in the black community looks like Trayvon. That's his age. So what do you think that this guy automatically assumed Trayvon was, regardless if he was a good kid or bad kid?
he had that swag. It's the same swag you see on every video. It's the same swag you see on every commercial. It's the same swag you see in every magazine. It's the same swag you see on every talk show. You got little kids looking like this. You got them looking like this on TV shows, on the news, even newscasters, whatever. First thing they want to do is they want to put on a hoodie with a pair of baggy jeans and some sneakers. So he said, so he got killed because of what the media has said to society, that this is the new era of fashion. So he got killed for his clothes instead of being assassinated, in a sense, for him being a criminal. And I thought about it, and I said, you know, you might be right, because a lot of people do get accused of what they have on. Some places they get accused of their colors and die. Some people, they get accused of the certain neighborhoods they're in, they're not supposed to be there, they die. In this case, you have a young man that's like, okay, I'm going home. What are you going to like? And my thing that kills me is you have a hoodie on in the rain, you got your hoodie over your head. Regardless of whatever the circumstances that may be or what has transpired, into however that particular confrontation came about, you know, we all had the same conclusion, which is, since when do neighborhood watches carry guns? I mean, you can go in some of the worst communities and neighborhood watches don't have guns. They got flashlights. They got pistols and notebook pads, you know, whistles. They might even have mace, but they don't have a gun. So to me, it's, since when did a fist fight warrant shooting somebody? So I'm totally 100% on any team that says fight that gun crap, because the gun laws have got to change. Appearances should not get you killed when you're a teenager and you don't have a criminal record. It's a difference if he had a major criminal, long list of a crime he's done in office. I just see it all as bogus, you know. So I would love to see a lot of the activists and political forums that choose to go out and volunteer their services, their voices, their opinions, and march for every cause possible. You know, I just really want to see things change and transpire to the point to where we don't have to keep doing this. Like, we're going to keep doing this. But it's just, it's after a while, it's been 75, 80 years of this, of having to actually go out and say, when are you going to stop smacking us in the face? You know, it's been longer than that for other instances, but it's been about a good 85 years of, when are you going to stop smacking me? You know?
Yeah.
And it's the same old thing all the time. So I would love to see things change in a different way.
Well, it's going to take a
lot of
time. I think it's going to take what we take, spend time with our young people, mentorships and all that in different ways. Just like the young lady, Gentile, the friend of Trayvon Martin, who was the last one who spoke with him over the phone when he was killed. A lot of people, when she got on the stand, said she was uneducated and all this and what have you, was not articulate, anything. And there were a lot of people who talked. But Tom Joyner, did not just talk about it, was not just one who talked about it, but was about it. And so what he did, he offered to pay for her college education at any HBC, Historical Black College, and she accepted. So it wasn't where, you know, he just talked about it, but he made something happen. And so that's what we must do, not just talk about it, but talk about the young kids who wearing their pants down, whatever. Do something. We got to do something about it, you know, in terms of, you know, taking time out with them, you know, talking with them, letting them know what it takes in terms of being presentable and all of this and what have you. So we got to be about it. Talk about it.
I agree. I agree. I mean, gentlemen, just sitting here listening to all
these gentlemen and the views and the passion. I mean, I hear passion from all these gentlemen right here. Me personally, I've been a lot, you know, this is Nassus, by the way. I've been a lot with my community, for my community, but sometimes I feel it's not enough. I mean, you know, we always say it's always that one moment in your life that changes for you. I mean, I'm not just saying this because I've been a commitment as far as involved with community and our young people for 30-plus years. But for some reason with this situation, I just have, you know, the spirit and just in me at this point now to take it to the whole next level. And, you know, personally, you have my word, and the brother, you need to talk honestly about the word and my honor. If I say that we're going to be getting involved with our Man Up movement and being strong men, that's why we named the show the Man Up Talk Show, because we know it's time. We understand. We see there's a need for us men to step up. And just me personally, I'm very passionate at this point. I'm passionate about the Man Up movement. I'm passionate about all these gentlemen that's online. I'm honored and just very humbled. But at the same time, I'm angry. I need to see change. I don't want to talk about it no more. I want to do change. And whatever it takes, gentlemen, the forum is always here for you. This is not going to be a forum. We're going to be very proactive. Trust me. You will see and hear us all throughout the community. And I am very honored to be amongst men like yourself, personally.
In on this first hour, now we're going to take a musical interlude. This is the Man Up Show, Shadow Worlds Radio. We're going to just take a break for just a quick minute, a musical interlude, and then we come back. We have Sig on the line. I think we got another caller or two on the line. We're coming back with Tom Reynolds. We're coming back with DeLacy Davis. We're coming back with Pastor Philander Hughes and with the rest of the brothers as soon as we come back. So after this musical interlude, I'm ready. I can take five pence. Tonight's show is about the verdict. We have returned from a break. The Man Up Show has returned. I'm Big D, Darrell Harrington here this evening. Here to join you tonight. Also, Eddie Fairley. Eddie, you online? Eddie? Hassan, are you online?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right. Wayne, you here? Wayne.
I'm on hold.
No, you're not. We're back.
We got to fix that.
So are you? All right. So
yeah, I'm here, brother. I'm sorry.
All right. So, I was about to say because it's just me and Hop.
No. I'm wrong, brother. I'm just very excited right now, man. I mean, I'm ready to make some moves, brother. I'm excited about the powerful men that we have online. And just, I'm ready to make change, man. I'm tired of talking about it. Let's be about it, brother.
All right, I'm going to reintroduce our panel one at a time. First, I would like to introduce the pastor of the Bethel Baptist Church of Orange, New Jersey, Mr. Valander Hughes, the pastor of the Bethel Baptist Church of Orange, New Jersey. Pastor, you still with us?
I'm with you. I'm here.
All right.
You know, we love you, man. We love you, man.
Love y'all, too.
Also online is an activist, principal, a former police officer for the city of East Orange, New Jersey. And I am proud to say a personal friend of mine I love to death, Mr. DeLacy Davis. DeLacy, you still on?
Peace, family. I'm still here.
All right.
Okay. Now, also online is Tom Reynolds. He is the president of a Montclair chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Tom, are you online with us still?
I'm still here.
All right. Also, we have another brother online with us, Brent Osborne. Brenton Osborne is the head of the LIOO, the Lola I. Osborne Organization. Brenton, are you online?
I'm definitely here.
What's going on, brother?
All right. I've been getting my brothers and get all the brothers on deck.
Okay. Edward, are you online? No, Eddie. Okay. But I know Eddie might not be online, but I know Sig is. Sig, sweetie, are you online?
Eddie's here.
Yes,
Eddie's here.
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I'm here for Sig and Eddie. Online.
I apologize, man. I just knew I was talking. I thought y'all was crazy.
We are all still here as we enter into the last hour of our program. We got like 40 minutes to continue to chop this up, dissect this issue. You have something to say, and I know you got a question, so signature by all means, take it away.
Good evening, gentlemen, and all the listeners. I want to say, as always, I got to put it out there. You guys are great. I love when you're a bunch of grown men talking with sense. Respect, love it. Now, as far as the situation, everything that you guys said that we need to do is fine. Let's take it one step further. I don't want people only to register to vote and to learn about what positions they're voting for, who they're voting for. Once you vote for those people and you put them in office, they work for you. Stay on them. Write your letters. Make those phone calls. Make sure they do what they told you they were going to do. Keep their promises. you want something changed, get your community together. Make sure they change it. Start from your lower city council and go clear up to the president. Make them work for us like they're supposed to.
100% right.
It goes further than that. We have to start with our young people, most definitely, without a doubt. But we also need to start with our generation. I'm forever saying our generation is the lost generation. We screwed it up. We need to reach out to each other and fix one another. We as a black community can be powerful as all get out if we come together. Support the black community? Yes, we need to support the black community. But the black community who wants that support need to remember, treat us the way you treat everybody else. When I walk in your store, I'm not your homie. I'm here to spend my money.
there's something that needs to be added to that that a lot of people, especially even black people, are looking at. There's an aspect of the black people that are in the community are too busy struggling to survive because that's what I see there. When you get into a position where they can live, that plan and what people are talking about, it's totally vital. But while they're surviving, it's almost like anything goes. And that is close to the heart of why you can't get most of the black people together and do it.
We as blacks seem to only want to come together to talk about the bad things. We'll support all the bad things, and we want to jump on bandwagons. We as blacks need to come together as a community and support each other, support our causes, because that's what every other culture does.
That's exactly right.
We're so busy being worried about the next person making it before us. That's just wrong. I support dreams. If you got a dream, I believe in it. If you believe in it, let's do this. Whatever I can do to help you, I'm there for you. And it's important that we do that, and we let everyone know that it's not me. It's not about me. It's not about me being at the top, me being in front. It's about what we can accomplish together, how far we can go as a community, as a culture.
Can I say this? Is there any system in place to assist people to get into that position currently?
Yeah, it's called BIRTH.
No.
It is, because, like you said, you have people that they make it and they live, and then you have people that are still struggling to survive. You know somebody that's struggling to survive, reach out and help them. You
sorry.
Got a single mother, and she's a single mother. Help her.
I have to say something. At this juncture, we're far, far, far gone past that stage. It's now at a point that if we don't, as an entire people, and for that fact, as a race, but I'll just restrict it to the United States. If the 43 million black people in the United States don't do what we're supposed to do here, you can't expect anybody else to do it because they have not done it as of yet. Now, there are literally thousands or even hundreds of programs that we can do. But the issue is you have to first get the people's attention and make them understand that everything that everybody has talked about is totally viable. But you have to get their attention. You have to get them on the same page in one way or the other. And from getting them on that page going forward, you pretty much can move everybody in one way and do the thing of the politics like you were speaking about, because that's one of the things we look to do through the programs that we have. But if you don't have everybody's attention or enough of the majority, then you're spinning your wheels.
Not really. If you just get one person's attention and you take that one person on the journey and they get fired up about it, they're not going to come on that journey alone. We as blacks, we're distrusting. We go, oh, he don't know what he's talking about, whatever. But yet somebody can come and quote statistics to us and we believe every word they say. We need to do our own research. Don't be so quick to jump on the bandwagon. Find out for yourself. It can start small and it could bleed over.
Oh, well, that's definitely true. But I'm looking at it from the aspect of this. I'm one person. I have a nonprofit. We work to do things in the community to get everybody straight. And I said, I'm not college educated. However, I'm extremely intelligent. But I came up with a program that will change everything. But I'm looking at it from the standpoint of there are professionals, there are college-educated people that have not only the education and the money, and they haven't done anything with it. I mean, not
well, we
one.
We can't wait for them, though. Like you said, like you said, you're not college educated. We can't wait for them. If you are passionate about something, tell somebody.
I'm not, listen, I'm not saying that we have to wait for them. But at the same time, they are part of the equation. They have to be made part of the equation because it's going to take that much longer, that much harder, that much more if they're not part of the equation.
Okay, and that's true because they do have that money. They do have that power. They do have that position. But guess what? You grab them by the hand because they're still human and they were born, and you take them like you would the next person.
Well, exactly. But
they don't know because they have not been informed. They have not been waking up yet.
A lot of times we focus on what we don't have rather than what we do have. So we have to focus on what we have, those who work in order to move forward and whatnot, use what we have and maximize that, and I believe that we can become effective with that. You know, because everybody's not gonna jump on board.
That's right. That's right.
That's reality. Everybody's
that's
not gonna
right.
jump on board. But you know, those we do have on board, we have to move forward with them.
It's about mobilizing, and this is my thing. It's about mobilizing those that are on board. And the issue that I see is you hear a lot of people saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But when you say put the dollar to what your mouth is saying yeah to, then you don't hear from them anymore. That is the issue, and I'm just looking at it from experience and what I'm doing. That is the issue that I see from a number of people. They talk about it. They say it's great. But when you say put the dollars to it, it's a different story.
Hey, bro, let me tune in. Hold on. No, he doesn't. That's not a part of the issue. That's a part of the process. And you need to understand and adopt and embrace the process. Everybody who has been successful has been where you are. You have to have a passion. You have to have enough passion in your movement to keep going and know that eventually you are going to come across that person that has the same passion and jump the board. But you cannot look. And hope that someone else is going to move your movement. You have to have enough passion to continue to go no matter what it is and just know that this what you're doing is right and you don't have to worry about anybody because I promise you if your movement is what it's supposed to be and it's something that's going to build people, for one, you are going to have you're going to have a lot of challenges and pushback or whatever, but God is all you need and what you got. If it's something that's positive and you need to continue to move knowing that this is the right thing and once people get a hold of it and understand it, they will adopt it, and then that one person, like you said, it doesn't even take a lot of people. You might find one person that sets on fire based on what they found out about your information and what you're trying to do, and that person will bless you. But you got to keep going, and it has to be worth the fight. And I pray that I'm not hearing what I'm thinking I'm hearing, that you're losing your fight and getting discouraged, because that's a part of the process, brother. It doesn't just come out the way that we want it to. It's a part of the process, and it's all to see if we're willing to go hard as we're supposed to get what we're supposed to, and then with that, we will be able to continue to sustain what we get because we remember what it is that it took to get it. So that's a process.
Absolutely. Now, DeLacy, let me ask you a question. Okay, and us moving forward with an agenda, what is the best way, in your opinion, for us to galvanize locally forums like this, to try to reach out to other community advocates? What is your...
Well, I go to different places, and I do different things, and whenever I go somewhere and I realize I'm going to be there for a while, it's very important for me to reach out to other people, for me to volunteer in certain areas, for me to, the youth that I'm passionate about the kids. I really am. And so I just go and inject myself into whatever situation that sparks me, and I go from there. It's just a matter of just talking to people. Just start talking to people. Say, hey, I got this idea, I'm thinking this, let's have a discussion about that. Go to anywhere where there's a group of people that's already there and volunteer to just sit down and talk to them. You will be amazed at how it grows from there and what happens when you are not there. It warmed my heart to go back to a city I just left to talk to them this week about the Zimmerman case and to get the urban kids and my little gangbangers and the women in the shelters and the men that can try to help, get everybody together talking, to know that just because I left, they didn't stop. And that group that meets once a week to discuss the issues and see what they can do within their community has gotten bigger.
Well, the thing about it, we have to really express our passion and show that we have a passion for what we do. Let me add a scripture, because it is us that says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In other words, that means that, you know, that you God grants us everything that we need for purpose and the cause that we are standing for. So whatever we need, it will be supplied. But we have to make a stand. We have to take a stand, and we have to put it out there. And I agree that it's part of the process where, you know, there will be some who may not support your cause or what have you. But still, we must not allow that to stop us, but allow the passion to drive us and move us forward. And we will get and receive and have those to come forward to get done what we need and what we want to get done.
Let me just say this, a couple of things. One is we like to organize with like-minded people and move from there outward. So last night we were in Hillside at the First Baptist Church working with elected officials, community, and young people. This weekend, Saturday, we'll be with a bunch of young people in front of the federal buildings. Last week we were in Jersey City with the National Action Network chapter there. So I think we start with those who are on the same page that we're on, and then we begin to branch out. And we have to work at a variety of levels. We have to work on multiple levels simultaneously. So we're part of a gang reduction collective that is national, that comes out of Cleveland, Ohio. And so we're working coast to coast there. We conference every Sunday for the last 3-4 years, led by a group of residents in the community there. We're also dealing with the National Black Police Association. I'm also dealing with the American Society of Public Administrators. So we've got to work nationally, regionally, statewide, and locally, and then block to block. We've got to work on all those levels and pull those resources together and those people. And I agree with the sister in that as you begin to have those conversations, you will identify resources and like-minded people who will invest in what you're doing. We're not all going to do the same things. We're not going to all be in the same place. As I said earlier, there's some work I do with the NAACP because I happen to like to work with their college units and their youth councils. I'm not too fond of some of the adults, so I don't deal with the adults. But it doesn't mean that we can't work. I take a Malcolm philosophy, and that is, if there's 10 issues on the table and we agree on 7 of them, then I'm going to work with you in those areas where we agree. When we disagree, if I can't help you, I won't hurt you. I simply will step aside.
Okay. Until we fix the issues dealing with us, we'll never stop the trade that are out there. And what I'm seeing is we have to build our own set of infrastructure where we're not dependent upon government and upon other agencies that give us programs with no exit strategy. And that's what has caused a lot of these cycles that have stereotyped us as we have right now. We have to be able to break up out of that aside from anybody else. And without that ability to do that, I see it just continuing to leave us in this same situation that we're in. No matter how much we talk or how much we want to do, until we establish a network that helps us, we have a problem. And that problem will continue. We can talk and we can put together all these little, but until my issue is this is what I believe. Because this is how the vision came to me, and this is how I'm putting it out. Until we have a financial base that enables us to create everything that black people need in the United States and outside of the United States, we have problems.
like I said, we right now are surviving through most of our lives as black people. Unless you happen to go into those middle class or almost middle class ranks, that's what we're doing. Most of us are making $8 to $12 an hour, and it's not, that's surviving. So the way I looked at it and the way I've seen it is I'm hearing a lot of intelligent black people that have the same type of mind, or we're talking about this, doing the same type of thing. But I'm saying I need you guys to come together so that we can attack this on some of the same lines that you're talking about and take it to the next level. That
I
way
agree.
We
and
can
it,
help everybody collectively.
I agree. And in every state, what I found out is every state has their program. And if you have a program in this state, it behooves you to research the other states. Start with the states closest to you. Reach out to those people running those programs. See about binding those programs together. Maybe not in the same city, that might not be possible, but on the same night, on the same day, you have this event going on in this city, in this city, in this city, and this state, and state, in this state. And then it gets broadcast, and then it reaches over. And if we keep doing that, then we will have a network within the United States. And we can reach out past that to wherever we are.
Well, I'll say this. That was one of the issues that I had in doing what I was doing, because I was actually looking for the nonprofits for other groups that were doing things or had programs for black people, but not get sales to find a bank. And that was something that I ran into, because I have different kind of programs that would probably work with a lot of people, but if I can't find them, I can therefore share them and use them. So I'm looking at saying, if I'm networking now, like I'm trying to talk to everybody, if you have that or you know it, this is one of the problems that I see a lot of black people have in doing things, is you don't know who to talk to. You can have the best idea in the world, but without the people to talk and share and move forward, it's not doing anybody any good, aside from the people that it's reaching right there. So people, if the rest of the panel online is willing to, you know, put stuff together and talk and transfer information, that would be a great help to me, and then working with you all going forward.
Okay.
We have over 50 programs, and they touch every aspect of black people's lives on the issues that you were talking about, and maybe on issues that you haven't thought of. But what me and Daryl have done is put together this, you know, a plethora of type of programs that would take care of people and allow them to live. And I mean live. And it's inexpensive. So my thing is saying, once I get people in a position, or we get ourselves in a position to have what we need to have to take care of everybody, I'm talking about infrastructure rebuild, school rebuild, a total overhaul. The deprogramming and reprogramming of black America to get them off of government programs and on to them saying, hey, there's things that I want to do, there are things that I want to take my kids to, and I want to open up everybody's mind to doing just whatever they want to do, you know, being constructive.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. One second. We have a caller on the line. Caller. Caller, you're on the line. No? So listen, that's perfectly fine, too. That's perfectly fine, too. Okay, we're down to like the last 20 minutes of tonight's show. We've already determined that, okay, we need to be proactive as men. We need to be as proactive. So we need to
Can you all put more space?
You there?
Yeah. You keep it clean, you wash it, you get it good.
What's our next step? We've dedicated ourselves. That's why we've called this show the Man Up Show. It is basically to start and galvanize a movement of brothers who are serious about us taking our rightful place, standing up, being accountable. Accountability is key. A lot of our problems and a lot of our issues is because we have failed in this department to be accountable, not only to ourselves, to each other, to our wives, to our children, to our parents, to our families. Not to take this, you know, in a different direction, but God created us to lead. And what we have done over the years has been to fall back. We don't have the time or the luxury to lie back or fall back. We have to move forward. So in understanding this, I think we all have the same mindset as far as we need to be more progressive in what we're doing instead of just being reactive. We need to stop being reactive, and we have to be active. We have to take action. Not just every time something happens to us, we have a knee-jerk reaction, we're passionate about it for a week, and then after that, you know, it goes by the wayside. No, our diligence has to be consistent, and we have to be able to be that example to these young brothers who are out here. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. died at 39 years of age. Malcolm X died at 39 years of age. Everything that they did in the movement all happened before their 40th birthday because those brothers never saw their 40th birthday. We don't have any excuses. We need to be progressive. We need to move forward in order to inspire the next generations of Martins and Malcolms. Gentlemen, any feedback on what I just said about us just moving this agenda forward?
Absolutely. So I agree with you that we've got, you know, I'm 29 years old, I'm looking at these issues and seeing how they're relevant to myself and people and my peers. Now, you mentioned, or I think it was, someone mentioned that they don't always agree with the NAACP's adult chapters. But when you look at, and also there's been mention of how we need to get organized. I refuse to believe that we are not organized. What I do believe is that no one is giving us the free advertisement and letting people know how organized we are. If you go talk to the People's Organization of Progress, the National Action Network, the NAACP, you know, those are organizations that are out there, in my eyes, every day, doing what they can to secure voting rights, to secure gun violence, to deal with education, to deal with political activation. And, you know, we need to, you know, for the people who are not sort of tuned in, we need to let them know that this is all happening, that this has been going on, that, you know, the March on Washington 50 years ago was not just the March on Washington. It was a March on Washington for jobs and freedom. And we're dealing with having issues of not having employment right for the majority of African Americans right now. Now, what's the next step? The next step is that we need to educate our community on what all the issues are. And maybe you do it in pieces, in parts, in parcels, but the education piece is important. And maybe someone will get angry or someone will get fired up and they'll start contacting their senators and their congressmen and their locally elected officials, and hopefully someone will decide, you know what, I can do a better job, and they'll run themselves. Maybe they'll bring someone with them as they go and organize and educate and mobilize and activate people to get involved in the work we're all doing. Now, I will commit that we can all, you know, this is not going to be the last conversation. I would love to see us all get together again and put together our organizations, our parishes, and make sure that we all work together on making sure that we push to end gun violence and we make sure to push that for education. I heard the conversation where we mentioned earlier about people being so white people being, or people not in our community being so for guns, and it just, it still mystifies me that in the right to bear arms, people forget that there are 13 other words in that Second Amendment that specify who gets the right to bear arms. I don't know, but I do believe that, you know, this can't be a last conversation, and
I agree.
Let me know where and when, and I will be there. Or if you want, on the 25th, you know, the Montclair NAACP will be meeting in
and you check out our website and come out and join us, because we're going to be talking about what's that next step from us.
I agree. You have our commitment on the man himself, so our court, Jim, we are behind that initiative. Anything, whatever it takes at this point, I know that the brothers talk behind the scenes, and we're very committed, so whatever it takes, but, you know, my opinion, that's just looking at the stand, so that's just my opinion.
I personally, as far as where we are now, I think a lot of us, based on this conversation and me just taking people's words for what they said they've been doing or what they're currently doing, I think a lot of us need to continue doing what we're doing, which is the mentoring and the different things that we're doing in our community. We definitely need to educate our community, but we also need to educate a little differently. We need to educate in the sense that we're not necessarily teaching our children that they have to go to school to get an education to get a job. First of all, we realize that there are no jobs. So we need to educate them on how to create jobs for one another. And if I'm not mistaken, if we find a problem and we attack or provide a solution for a problem, then the government and other people will support the solution, which in turn can create a job for others. So if we teach, and you don't have to have a degree for that, if we teach each other the concept of business and finding solutions for problems that are in the communities or what have you, we can get funding or produce funding, and we need to. It's killing me. I keep hearing, you know, people won't give us free advertisement. People won't support our stuff. First of all, they don't want our stuff. They don't want it to happen. So I don't know what we're thinking, why we're thinking that. I mean, if we start off with saying that, you know, it's racism and all this stuff, why would we think that people going to fund us trying to uplift ourselves? We have to do it ourselves. And we got to be willing to go through whatever kind of trenches or wilderness that we have to go through in order to bring this stuff to fruition. So we have to, for one, understand that it's not going to come easy. And we got to continue to be self-motivated and God-motivated and result-motivated so that we can bring these things to fruition. But we can't. We need the support of each other. So I'm hoping that after this we can use the Man Up page or whatever kind of context that got us all on this platform to exchange information to see where each other can help each other's organizations or ministries or whatever you want to call it. As long as it's towards the movement, we need to collaborate and try to help each other to grow our movements, as long as they align with the mission of this whole conversation has been about. We need to just do better in regards to us just being aware of what's going on and teaching our children what they need to do and consider and like I said, being consistent, because people are watching. We have many opportunities. We have many opportunities to show that we are not what we're being portrayed on TV, and we keep dropping the ball. Every time we have a freaking opportunity, we're dropping the ball. So we need to bring an awareness and a consciousness through our mentoring to help our children and their children if we get into to them. And that's why I mentor adults and children, because if I get the adults to understand, they're going to teach their children if it's embedded in them. And if I get the children, they're going to become adults, and they're going to do the whole thing. And my plan is just to attack the entire generation and just recreate, to shift people's perspectives and minds and help them realize that their mental capacity can change the whole world if we just shift our train of thought and start caring about one another and just being prideful about who we are. Then these movements and stuff can come to fruition. But that's where I think we need to start.
Well, listen, here's a very simple way to do what the actual question was. If we build a simple structure, it's not complicated, it's not crazy, and just everybody commit to say, in a month, we'll come together to talk about it, to get the structure built and put everybody in the place that they fit in the structure. And from there going forward, we do different functions that will help each other's project get up. By doing that and using everyone's network simultaneously, you'll bring everybody. We will bring everybody to us. But the issue is that I see is that if we
as the people that are here talking now or others that are listening, never kick in, never say, yeah, we're going to do this, and come out and actually do it, then that's the point where I say, you know, everybody is just giving lip service. It's very simple. Pick a date. Everybody that's going to show up, show up. We build a structure. And from that structure going forward, we're like a coalition that is actually helping each other. And from that, everybody will be able to utilize everybody else in helping the people within our community. And as it grows and people have contacts outside, we're able to take that whole prototype and take it to the next city, take it to the next state, and tell it is across the United States. And at the end, the government and every other business, special interest, has to pay attention to it. Because when you get the blacks, then you migrate and get the Hispanics with 25% of the country, 25% of the vote, and in some states almost 100%. That changes the balance in every way you can think of. Politicians, special interests, everything. But it's no more about it saying we're going to talk about this. Pick a date, pick a time, pick a...
This has been one heck of a forum. We've got 10 minutes to go. We have a lot of people to say goodbye to, and everybody wants to get a last word. So I'm going to start with Tig. Tig, give us your closing comments on this great show and this great evening.
I agree that something needs to be done, and I know I'm not a man, but I do support your movement, and I'm there for you guys, whatever you guys need.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Tig. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Give me something, brother. Give me something. Give me your last statement.
Well, I say this. I believe what everybody said is correct in what they said. But now it's the time to do. It's no more saying just talking. Put your money where your mouth is. Man up. Come out and let's do it.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks, Oz. Thanks a lot. Tom, thank you very much for your participation tonight. We'd just like you to share some last thoughts with us as we're about to close out.
You know, first, I love being on this call with all of you. The conversation, great. What I want to say, you know, I'd be a horrible president of the NAACP if I didn't say this. Take out a membership. Join us. Monica and NAACP, we're meeting on the 25th at 7:30 p.m., 228 Bloomfield Avenue in Montclair at the MNDC. We're going to continue this conversation there. Please join us.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. Thank you very, 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 very much. Pastor Hughes, God bless you for taking the time out this evening to participate in this forum. Thank you very much. Give us your closing thoughts.
First, I want to say thank you for allowing me the opportunity to participate in this forum. But as we move forward in doing all of what we are called to do, we must remain consistent because people... They are attracted to consistency as well as strength and what have you. So in all the efforts that we do in making a difference, let us remain consistent and let us do it with strength and unity.
Amen. Thank you very much, Pastor. Thank you very, very much. DeLacy, my brother, can you...
My new brother.
give it to us, please.
Let me just say that, first of all, I'm thankful to be on the panel with everyone. Thank you for inviting me, and thank you for my team for making it possible to get me on. I want to say that unity is not uniformity, and there are multiple ways to get to the same goal. We have
That's
to identify
right.
where we're trying to go and what's the best road for each of us to individually and collectively travel. I think that we need to absolutely utilize our economic resources, our people resources, and our mental and emotional resources to do what we say we're going to do. We need to keep the peace, start with our own families, register to vote, join an organization, start an organization, or join one that's already there. If you think it's a bad organization, make it a better organization, as Kwame Ture often said in his closing remarks. And then finally, stop financing our own demise. We have to boycott our enemies. Thank you for the opportunity.
Amen. Thank you very much, ladies. Thank you. Edward, Edward.
Yes.
Child,
you ruined
brother.
My bromance, man. You ruined my little bromance I got going on, man. This guy.
Y'all bromance. Come
that
on.
That guy, man. It's a rarity, man, that I could get somebody that smart me like this guy. But, man, Delacia, you'll be hearing from me soon, sir. Consistency. That's definite. And to speak about what the brother was talking about earlier, this right here, every Friday from 7 to 9, this is the location. This is the simple platform that we can use to, for one, bring about awareness and shift our mindsets and start a movement. And from that, within our own organizations, because just like he said, unity does not mean uniformity. So we might have different avenues, but at least we can mastermind together on this panel, as well as bring people to listen to the panel and potentially spark something in someone else when we address these issues weekly, might I add, to start our own organizations, to start movements, to add to our movements, and get the different sponsors and the different plugs and stuff, because we created an environment where people are coming. So now you can have more ears about your NAACP. Free advertisement. You can have more ears hearing about your organization, not sure what that is, free advertisement. But if we bring them all to this one location, the Man Up Talk Show, where we're discussing these issues weekly on Fridays, we can build an awareness, we can start movements, we can add to each other movements, we can discuss and create a whole social network of a movement and address these issues. So I'm going to leave it at that. But we have the platform.
True. Wayne, are you still online?
Yeah, that was the brother Haas. I want to hear my man.
Haas, are you still online? I think Haas is not online anymore. I think he had to drop off. He had to finish his business. So, Wayne, take it away.
Listen, I'm just motivated and excited just the fact that we have other men and women, throughout different states. Mind you, we have Georgia online, we have Florida online, we have Virginia online, and we're all basically saying the same thing. And like, you know, the brother said and all the gentlemen said on this panel, everyone said this panel, if we can be consistent on a daily basis with this movement, you know, and like Brother Eddie said, we have a forum. But right now, we're ready to take this movie to the next level. We're ready to take it to the next level. So whatever it takes, you know, my thing is I'm battle tested. I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm a man of less words. I'm just ready to do this at this point. I'm excited. My commitment's there. But, you know, God puts us in different places, do different things, and I'm very excited. I'm ready to go. I mean, I'm not about talking about it. I'm about being about it. So I'm ready to make this change, you know, whatever it takes. And we invite all, you know, Brother Davis, a pastor, all my brothers that's online. You know, please use us as a forum. We are behind you. We have, you know, we're behind you. Please use this forum anytime you want to. You know, the door is wide open. At any time you want to, you have a topic, it's here. Right here, right now, we're doing that commitment to you. We're not just doing lip service. We've been doing this for, strong 6 months, guys.
Yeah,
6 months. We've been committed to this movement, and you know, we talked about behind the scenes. We are very committed to doing whatever it takes. Brother Eddie said it, Brother Dow, Brother Hawthorne said it, and Brother Dow said it. You know, we are very committed to. Please use us as a forum, and we will return it because you know, one hand washes the other, and then at the end of the day, it's about the community and us as black community as well as just human beings in general.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That's all I'm gonna say, man. I mean, I'm just ready. I'm amped up. And maybe this Trayvon situation maybe just sparked another. How you call it? It gave me another spark in my life. But I know I'm committed more than ever because I look at my son. I said that could be my son, and yeah. I'm just committed now. I look at all these young men out here. I said, damn, that could be. The other boys could be my son or my daughter.
They are sons.
You know exactly. You know, I just want to make change. I don't want to talk about it no more. I want to be about it.
That's right.
I'm already working. I'm just waiting for people to come and work with me. I'm already working.
Yeah. Well, I can march.
Well, to like put my 3 cents in there and start to wrap this puppy up, great episode, great show. I would like to thank our special guest this evening, Pastor Vlanda Hughes of the Bethel Baptist Church of Orange, New Jersey, Mr. DeLacy Davis, Mr. Tom Reynolds of the Montclair NAC, Brenton Osborne of the LIOO. I would like to thank SIG. I would like to thank everybody that contributed in making this show a success. I would like to thank Haas. We need to thank Wayne. We thank Eddie. It's been our privilege over the last 6 months to be able to share with our brothers, to be able to interact with our brothers, to be able to galvanize with our brothers, and to be able to use this forum to do so. It's been a blessing for us all. I mean, so now it's time for us to go to work. We're here every Friday night between the hours of 7 and 9 to inform, to entertain, hopefully to share. So thank you, everybody. Let's just say good night, everyone, and let's end this show. So good
evening.
Good night, everybody.
Hey, I'll be easy. Love you.
Hey, everyone, take care.
All right, now. Night now.
Playback.
Power. We got to fight the power.